Last week we learned the reason why people need to go to work. We said, the Chovot HaLevavot said, it's to put you in a position of nisyonot, for tests, and to keep you out of trouble, to keep us busy. Now this would lead us to the conclusion that someone who becomes a true Eved Hashem and is not interested in the lower temptations, and he is not lazy to serve Hashem properly, he should be free from his obligation to toil for his sustenance, since he doesn't need all the tests to refine him. So the Chovot HaLevavot says, a person like this seemingly should get his parnasa without so much effort. Which brings us to a big question, which he himself asks. Why is it that we see so many righteous people who don't have a parnasa? They're collecting and they're coming and they're begging, and what are these people? Aren't these people true of Dei Hashem? And if the only reason, again, the only reason we need to go to work is to refine ourselves, maybe these people are refined already. They should get their parnasa without tircha. So why do we see good people, seemingly good people, being afflicted? And on the other hand, yes, we see sometimes wicked people flourishing. And this is the ancient old question that was asked by the Nevi'im. It was asked in last week's parasha by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when he asked Hashem, Hodi'eni na terachecha, the question of Sadiq v'ralo and Rasha v'tovlo. You see, sometimes good things happening to bad people and bad things happening to good people. What's the answer to that question? So the first thing we have to know is that we don't know the answer. There's not even a potential for a human being to grasp the reasons why things happen to people. But we have to know that there's definitely a reason for each and every individual tzaddik. Hashem could be testing them. And there's a different reason for why every rasha is getting good. There's no such thing as a mistake. There's no such thing as something went wrong. We don't understand it, but it had to be that way. If you go over to an ATM machine and you put your card in and doesn't work, try it again, doesn't work, try it again, doesn't work. You say step out of line for the next guy. And the next guy goes in, he puts his card in, boom, it works. You have to tell yourself, there's nothing wrong with the machine. There's something wrong with my card. We look around at the world is running smoothly, it's operating beautifully, Hashem is running everything. We see, this looks like a mistake, it doesn't look like it should happen. And we have to tell ourselves, the mistake's with us, we don't understand, it's our problem, everything else is running smoothly, obviously the problem's with us, it's not a problem with Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, Hasur Tamim Pa'olo, Kichol Derachav Mishpat, everything that Hashem does is just and righteous. So, even though we can never fully comprehend the ways of Hashem, the Chovot HaLevavot says, we could try to give a little bit of a hesped, a little bit of a reason why there's the righteous suffer, to make it a little easier to cope. And a lot of the reasons he gives are well known. He says, number one, sometimes Hashem will bring yisurin, he'll bring affliction on a tzaddik to cleanse him of an avera that he might have had in the past. And Hashem doesn't want him to suffer in olam haba, as it says in the pasuk, lema'an anotecha, ulma'an nasotecha. Hashem sometimes afflicts us, lehetivecha ba'achdecha, to give you good in the end. That's why you're afflicted. Number two, sometimes Hashem will give yisurin to a tzaddik to show people how to accept punishment be'ahava, be'simcha. Sometimes we see ourselves that great men, some a tragedy lo aleinu happens to them, and they take it with such courage, and you try to console them, and they're consoling you, and you say, wow, this is amazing, it's unbelievable. And of course, Hashem has his cheshbono with them, he doesn't punish for nothing. They'll get all their reward in olam haba for helping out the rabim. People see examples like this. Sometimes the Sadiq suffers for the Avonot of the generation. Again, we don't understand how it works. And sometimes what seems like affliction is not really affliction at all. Sometimes, you know, like we said, a guy's, his store could burn down and under it is buried a treasure. So it looks like it's bad, but it's really good. The Chidushe Harim once gave someone a mashal who was very depressed. Life wasn't going well. And the Chidushe Harim gave him a mashal to boost him up. He said there was once a person who knew how to understand the language of the birds. He was out in the fields and he was listening to the birds. A wise man, very wise man, and someone was passing by. His name was Jack. And he asked, he says, "What are you doing?" The guy says, "I'm listening to the birds." He says, "What? You know how to talk? You know how to hear the birds talk? Unbelievable. Teach me." And the guy says, "No, it's not for you. You don't want to know." He says, "No, please, I want to hear what they're saying. It's unbelievable. The animals, I mean, I want to hear what they have to talk about." "No, it's not for you. It's not for you." He begged him and he begged him and he begged him. Till he finally said, "All right, fine. You want to know? I'll teach you." So they sat out together in the field for 2 weeks, listening every day to pick up on all the nuances, and he taught him how the birds speak. He's ready to finally go out and practice. He goes out the first day to listen to what the birds are saying. And the birds on the first day, they say that tomorrow there's going to be a fire in Jack's warehouse. He says, "Wow, future, they're telling me the future." He goes, he runs home, he tells his all his workers, "Let's go take all the merchandise out of the warehouse. We got to save it." They do it. Sure enough, a fire breaks out. His warehouse burns down. He saves all his goods. Wow, it's amazing. He goes out the next day to listen again. The birds are saying, "Tomorrow, the price of silver is going to drop drastically. The price of silver is going to drop. I own so much silver." He goes home. He sells all the silver and he shorts the market and he makes a killing. The silver market drops. And the guy makes it rich. He says, "The best thing that ever happened to me." He goes out the third day and he listens to the birds again. The birds this time, they say that there's going to be a burglary tonight. All the thieves heard about Jack's recent winnings and they're going to come steal it. So he calls the police in advance. He puts the police all around his house with guns waiting. 8 o'clock comes, the thief comes, boom, he's caught right away. The guy's, he's on cloud nine. He goes out the next day, and the birds say, "Tomorrow, Jack is going to die." Oh, Shema Yisrael, what do I do now? He goes back to his teacher, and he asks his teacher, "What should I do? The bird said, and tomorrow I'm going to die." He says, I told you, it's not for you." He says, "No, come on, how do I protect him?" He says, "No, you don't understand." He says, "Hashem, there was a decree upon you of death a week ago. And Hashem loves you so much. He wanted to save you from death. He was going to take away your money. So first he tried to burn your warehouse down. And you prevented it. Then he tried to make you lose all your silver. And you prevented it. And then he said, "Oh, one last chance. I'll try to get the burglars to come steal it all." And you prevented it. Nothing left to do. You have to go. But we see from here that sometimes what looks bad, it looks like you're sitting, really could be saving us from much worse. The Midrash tells a story, not going to say the whole thing now, with the great Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. He met up with Eliyahu HaNavi in the market and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, "Please take me on your journeys. I want to see how you operate." And Eliyahu HaNavi told him, "You won't be able to bear it. You can't see how Hashem works. It'll kill you." He says, "No, I want to see anyway." And they went to this. He says, "Okay, I'll let you come, but you can't ask any questions." And they went and they knocked on the door of an old couple. And the old couple had nothing. They had nothing in the house. But they took him in warmly. They said, "Yes, please stay overnight by us. We have a nice straw bed for you." They gave him their own beds to sleep on. The old widow. And they slept there at night. And they were so hospitable. They gave him breakfast in the morning. And on the way out, Eliyahu HaNavi takes their only possession they have is one cow. They live off the cow. They milk the cow. They get cheese. So everything they get off this cow, he taps them on the head, and the cow dies. Yeshua ben Levi says, "What are you doing? These people are so nice. How did you do that? It's not fair. It's not right." And they went on three other missions. I'm not going to say them now. Until finally, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, he bugged him so much. He says, you have to tell me the reasons for this. And he says that this old couple, there was a decree upon the woman, the old lady, to die. And Hashem saw that this guy, his love of his life, he would have been, forget about it, what would have happened if his wife died. So they took the other most prized possession that he had. Of course he would be willing to give up the cow to save his wife, and that's why I killed the cow. We don't know God's ways, but sometimes, again, what looks to be bad is really good. So many of the things that we think are yisurin are really not. The Sefarim tell us also that this cheshbonot from previous lives, previous gilgulim, who knows? So if this is true, we have all the answers. Kovot Le'avot gives us four reasons why the righteous suffer. We have other reasons why the righteous suffer. What was the big question of Moshe Rabbeinu? That he can't understand. Hashem says you can never really understand. And the Nevi'im, they can never really understand. What's the big question? We have all the answers. So the Chazal tell us that when the Romans came to kill Rabbi Akiva, it says that they were combing his flesh with iron combs. And he was saying, Shema Yisrael. And it says his soul left him with the word Echad. He said, Shema Yisrael, Shem Echad. And his soul left him with the word Echad. And there was an uproar in Shamayim. The angels were telling Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu Sechara. This is Torah, and this is the reward for Torah. One of the greatest Torah scholars we ever had in history. And this is how he dies. And Hashem tells the angels, be quiet. You better be quiet, or else I'll turn the world back to tohu vavohu. I'll turn the world back into nothingness. And one of the rabbis asks, he says, what kind of answer is this? What kind of answer? What is Hashem telling the angels? I'll turn the world into nothingness. Tell the angels, listen, you can't understand my ways. You know, you can try all you want, but you can't. Say, what is he telling you? I'm going to turn the world back into nothing. So the rabbi gives a mashal. He says there was a king who wanted to make him, he wanted a beged made out of gold and silver threads. And he bought very, very expensive threads, and he hired a craftsman to make a shirt for him out of them. And the guy worked day and night, and he produced a beautiful, beautiful shirt made out of gold and silver. And the king loved it. He loved it, and the king's men were so jealous of this guy that he brought so much pleasure to the king. And they said, it's not fair. And they made up a lie. And they told the king, this guy, we saw what he did. He pocketed half of the stuff. He made a shirt out of half the materials he gave him. So the king calls him down. And the king says, is this true? I hear that you pocketed half of the gold and silver? The guy says, of course not, king. I would never do such a thing. You have to believe me. He says, so why are they saying this? He says, to tell you the truth, king, I can't prove it to you. I can't prove it. The only thing I could do is to take apart the entire shirt, one by one, take out every thread, and we'll count them up. That's the only way I could prove it to you. Says the rabbi, that's what Hashem was telling the angels. You want to understand why Rabbi Akiva's flesh is being combed with iron? The only way you could understand is if I unravel the entire world back to the beginning of creation and I show you how everything is connected. It's such a massive cheshbon that Hashem has. That's why we can never fathom it, because it all goes back. It all goes back to the beginning of time. So even though we know different reasons why Hashem might cause suffering, but we don't know the reason for each case. You can never pinpoint and say, you know why this is happening to him? For his avera. This is why it's happening to him? Because he needs, the generation needs to learn from him. We'll never know the individual reasons for each person. That's what we'll never know. But we know basically why Hashem does these things. Rav Sadok writes, he says that we know for everything bad in the world, there's a mirror image of good. He says every affliction that comes upon a person represents something that's good in store for him. Hashem is giving you the affliction that's going to make you ra'ui, is going to make you worthy of the good that's coming. He says that if someone has this bitachon and they realize when the suffering comes, he says this is good, Hashem is doing this for my good, He says, you will for sure be zocheh to the matana tova, the present that Hashem has in store for you with these yisurim. There was a story of a man, his name was Moshe, he was a big Baal Tzedakah, a very wealthy man. And all of a sudden his business took a turn for the worse, and he lost everything. He was in lumber, he lost it all. Everyone in the community couldn't believe it. How such a righteous man giving tzedakah, how could he lose all his money? Where's the deen? Where's the justice? And they asked Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the rabbi at the time, and he said, wait and see. Don't worry, Hashem has his reasons. And this man, he was broke. He had nothing to do. He had nowhere to work. He went to the Beit Midrash. He went to the shul, and he started learning. And they saw there that he had such a good head for learning. He started attacking the rabbi, asking him very strong questions. This guy's amazing. And he started growing and learning and growing and growing and growing. And he eventually became a big Talmid Chacham. His last name was Soloveitchik. He became Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And he was the grandfather of the Beit HaLevi and the Brisker Rav and one of the greatest dynasties that Klal Yisrael has ever known of Torah. And the Rav Chaim Volozhiner said he wasn't yet worthy. He wasn't worthy to produce such a dynasty of Torah. He had to first undergo this Yisurin, this first is losing his business, and now he became worthy. That's the matana that Hashem gave him. Chazal tell us that one of the greatest levels a person could reach in this world is to accept affliction be'ahava, with love. To say, Hashem, I know you're doing it for my best, I still love you, and you mekabel b'simcha. This is a very high madrega, but you could reach the highest levels through this. They say about the Gaon from Vilna, he lost one of his daughters, the night before her wedding day. The wedding was the next night, and his daughter died. And the Gaon accepted the punishment, the decree of Hashem, b'simcha. He didn't ask any questions, he didn't complain at all. And his mother came to him in a dream. And his mother told him that if you knew what you caused in Shamayim by accepting these, if you knew the reward you're getting and what you did by accepting the Yisurim be'ahava, he says you would have danced more at a funeral than you would at a wedding. That's the effect that you could have by accepting Yisurim be'ahava. One of the students of the Chafetz Chaim told over a story. There was once a couple getting married in Radin, and it was a big snowstorm, and nobody came, and not even the musicians came to the wedding. And they had a wedding with no music. So one of the students heard the Chafetz Chaim mumbling under and says, what does it mean? What does Hashem want to teach us with? There's a wedding with no music. He says, you know what it means? He says, without affliction in this world, his Olam Haba is going to be without music. He says, Yisurin are our music in Olam Haba. This is what's going to carry you to the next world, the suffering that you have in this world. It's a famous story of a man who also had a very horrible life. Everyone in his family was sick. He was doing bad in business. And he went to a rabbi, Rabbi Sharabi, for a beracha. And he was waiting in the rabbi's office. And the man dozed off in the office. It was late at night. And he starts having a dream. And in the dream, he sees that he's in front of the heavenly court. And they say, we're judging this man now to see if he gets into Olam Haba. And they say, will all of Mr. So-and-so's mitzvot come out now? And all these white angels start running out and jumping on the scale. And this, wow, it's amazing. Thousands and thousands of white angels. And then they say, will all of Mr. So-and-so's Averot now come and go on the scale? They see these big, black, huge angels jumping on the scale, and they're pounding on the scale, and they clearly outweighed the good. And the man says, oh no, I'm in trouble. And then a voice comes out and says, any more mitzvot? No. Okay, now will all Mr. So-and-so's sufferings come out? All is Yisurin, and thousands of white angels are coming out, and some of the black angels were disappearing because Yisurin is mechaper on the Avonot. And the scale was coming out, and it was evening out. And the man was saying, whoa, unbelievable, Morse. And the scale was about to balance out, and he almost was there, and it stopped. And the man starts yelling out, more suffering, please. And they woke him up. Oh, hello, what's going on over here? He says, oh, it's your turn to see the rabbi. And he says, forget the rabbi. I don't want to see the rabbi. I'm happy. I'm happy with my suffering. I know it's my ticket to Olam Haba. The Sefarim tell us, there's a halakha actually in Shulchan Aruch. Now, it's hard to believe that this is actually a law in Shulchan Aruch. But it says, Kishem Shemevarchin Al Hatov. A person, the same way he blesses Hashem when something good happens for him, something good happens to him, Kach Mevarchin Al Hara. He has to have the same enthusiasm to thank Hashem for the bad. It's a halakha on Shulchan Aruch. What we said is probably the greatest madrega you could reach in this world is a halakha. And Rabbi Tauber brings out how exactly you have to fulfill this law. It doesn't sound humanly possible. He says, what does it mean? You have to have the same enthusiasm to bless Hashem for the bad as for the good. He says, I'll give you a scenario. He says, imagine you had a couple that was married for 20 years and they didn't have a child. And they were praying and praying and praying, and finally Hashem answered them and they had a child. They had a son. And the parents were so excited. They went and they put all of their efforts into this boy, and they raised him with such loving care, and they made sure he went to all the best places in school. And they gave him everything, and they brought him. He was a gem. Everyone saw him. He was a gem. And he grew up. And it was time for him to get married. And they found somebody else just like him, a girl perfect for him. And everyone was so excited in the community. This one, their only child is getting married. It was a big festivity. They all came to the wedding. And the chatan, father of the chatan, gets up before the chuppah and he says, boys, we're going to pray out of beat now. Right before the chuppah, and the father gets up and he's the chazan. And he gets up to say out of beat. And he gets up and he's so excited for the wedding. And he says, Yitgadal v'yitgadah shemer abba. Let the great name of Hashem, the holy name, be exalted. And he prays it with such fervor. They had the wedding, beautiful wedding. A couple of days go by during the Sheva Berachot. And lo aleinu, the chatan gets into an accident and he dies. And what a tragedy it was. And the father of his only boy, goes to the graveyard to bury him. And he's standing over the grave. And they buried him, and it's time to say Kaddish. And says the rabbi, a person's obligation is to get up over that grave and say the same Yitgadal v'yitgadah shemer abba, the same God, the same happiness. So I don't know how it's possible, but the same fervor, and say, Hashem, you're great. Even when you do bad to us, Hashem, you're great. That's the obligation that we have. How do you come to this madrega? How does a person reach? No one should ever know of such things. But how does a person reach this level where he's able to accept the decrees of Hashem b'simcha? You have to know, like we spoke out before, that Hashem is our loving Father. Hashem loves you. He only wants what's good for you. He doesn't want to hurt you. Let's say you had a boy, 18-year-old boy, sleeping in his bed one night. His father took care of him his whole life. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, the father goes into his room, knocks on his door, he says, get up and get out. Out of the house. So what are you doing, Dad? It's the middle of the night, it's snowing outside. It's freezing. Get out. Don't even put your jacket on. Just get out of the house. The son goes out of the house. What is he thinking when he's out of the house now? What is it? My father loves me. My father, my whole life, he's taking care of me. I'm sitting outside in the freezing cold in my pajamas. There must be a good reason. My father wouldn't. There must be a fire in the house. There must be something. Because my father wouldn't do that to me for nothing. When bad things happen to a person, actually the Maharal says unbelievable. He says that suffering is necessary. It's a necessary condition for the coming of the Mashiach. He said that a seed sprouts only after it rots and totally breaks down. He said the sprouting of the Ge'ulah comes only through a total breakdown of the whole world. He says when security breaks down, when the economy breaks down, when society breaks down morally, so everything falls apart, that's when the light of the Mashiach is sprouting. Suffering is necessary for the light of the Mashiach. We're experiencing it nowadays. Everything is falling apart. Suffering is bringing about the coming of the Mashiach. And when things aren't going the way we want, and a lot of times a person is faced with these difficulties, it's not the way he wants it, he has to know. Our job is to say, there's no accidents. There's no accidents. It's hand-picked exactly for you. Hashem knows exactly what He's doing. Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. He says, imagine you spend a Shabbat in another community. And he goes to shul. You go to shul on Shabbat there. And you're sitting down during the Kiryat HaTorah. And you see how they're giving out the Aliyot. First guy gets Aliyat Kohen. 17-year-old boy gets Aliyat Kohen. Levi, guy in the back seat gets Levi. Yisrael, you see this guy? You know, Aliyat Shishi gives a regular guy. Finally, after the Kiryat Torah, the guy goes over to the Misadir and he tells him, what kind of business is this? Aliyat Shishi is supposed to go to the rabbi. Aliyat Kohen, you give a 17-year-old. What kind of thing? The Misadir tells him, hello, you came here for 1 week. I have a book for the last 30 years on the Aliyot. You know what we know? The boy this week is 17. Just came back from Israel. We're giving him an Aliyah. The boy went up Shishi. Just had a baby. The president got an Aliyah last week. The rabbi got an Aliyah 2 weeks ago. How dare you come in here and tell us, you know, what we should do? That's what we do. We come into the world. The world has been going on for almost 6,000 years. We come into the world. We say, how could this be? How could this be? What's this? How dare us ask questions? What do we know? And the Sefarim tell us further that things are connected to previous lifetimes even that we can never fathom. I saw a story written in three different books. The same story written in three different Sefarim. And it's traced back to Rav Chaim Vital, who learned it from his rabbi, the Arizal. So the story is true. The story goes that there was a woman, and a righteous woman. And the woman married a righteous man. And together they lived a beautiful life. They had 7 children. And they did community work, community service. The lady was involved in Bikur Holim and Tehillim and taking care of the kids. And the man was involved in Tzedakah, and the man was in the committees and organizations. And everyone loved them. And lo aleinu, there was a drunken soldier walking through their town one day. And he mutilated their 3-year-old son right in the front lawn. And it was such a tragedy where the people of the town were in an uproar. And they said, how could it be? How could it be these righteous people? How could Hashem do this to them? And they went around, they were asking questions. And these two people, these righteous people, accepted it be'ahava. They didn't ask questions. They continued on with their work. The woman continued on doing her chesed. The man continued on with his tzedakah. Couple of years down the line, the husband got sick. And the husband was deathly ill. And quickly the word spread around the community, Tehillim, Tefillah. And they were fighting for him and they were praying. And the doctor came and the doctor said, he's going to go. And a couple of minutes later, the man died. And it spread like wildfire. The news that this man in the community, this righteous man who lost his son 2 years ago, he himself died. And now the lady was broken. She couldn't handle it. She lost her son. She lost her husband. She was a broken lady. 3 years later, her son, newly married son, 21 years old, he knocks on the door Friday afternoon to say Shabbat Shalom to his mother. And he says, Ma, Shabbat Shalom. And his mother, with tears in her eyes, tells him Shabbat Shalom, and he says, Ma, you're still crying. You're still, Ma, it's 3 years. They're chasing you with a new marriage partner for the last year. You turn everybody away. You don't think Hashem told us, I hate to say this, but Hashem gave us a 1 year mourning period. That's it. How can you can? You look what you're doing to the family. And they looked around and all the kids are sad because the mother's always sad. And the mother said, you're right. Where's my bitachon? Where's my emunah? Thank you for knocking sense into me. And she said, for the first time in 3 years, I felt a little bit of the gap closing. And they said, the kids said that night, they had a beautiful Shabbat. They spent the night together happy. The first time since the death, they were happy. And the woman, she went to sleep that night with a sense of peace. And the story continues, and she had a dream that night. And in the dream, she was in this exotic garden with unbelievable trees and birds, and she saw an old man with a long white beard approaching her. And the man said, would you like to see your husband? She said, well, my husband, of course. And he brings her to this palace with thousands of people in the palace, and her husband is leading the whole Torah shiur. He's giving a shiur in Olam Haba to thousands of people. And after the shiur, he comes over to her, and she says, that's you. She says, why did you leave me? Why did you leave us at such a young age? And the husband tells her, you don't understand. He says, I lived before. He says, I was a great Torah scholar. He says, I loved the Torah so much that I couldn't part with it. I didn't get married. I didn't get married and have kids. I didn't fulfill the first mitzvah in the Torah. And when I died, I went to Olam Haba, and I was such a tzaddik. They sent me to the highest levels, and I was going, moving up, and then there was a stop. I couldn't go anymore. They said, you didn't fulfill Pir'ur Vu. And I asked them, I said, I need to go. What should I do? Give me another chance. And they sent me back down only for one reason, to raise a family. I came back down, I raised a family, and after I was finished, boom, I come back higher and higher. He says, I'm loving it. It's unbelievable here. He says, don't worry about me. You have to go on. And she said, I have another question for you. You know, we have an older son. We have a 24-year-old son. He's not married yet. Why isn't he married? What's wrong? And he said, his zivug was born late. She's only 13 now. In 5 years, they'll be married. Don't worry. And she's going to pay for the wedding. You'll have nothing to worry about. Oh, it's all good. And then with tears in her eyes, she mustered up the courage and said, what about our son? What about our 3-year-old boy? Was mutilated. What was God doing? And he said, come with me. And he brought her, and they went to this secluded place. And they said, in that place, it was beautiful, rich grass and trees, and the birds were singing, Or Zarua La Sadiq, Or Yishrei Lev Simcha. The animals were singing, the grass was singing, the trees were singing. There was a canopy of fire, and inside looked like an angel. It was her son. And she said, that's my son. She went over and said, son, what happened to you? And he said, Ma, you don't understand. I was in a previous lifetime. He says, I was a big Torah scholar. And I was also in the highest levels of Gan Eden. But many years before, when I was an infant, there was a goyim came into the town, and they killed out most of the people, and they kidnapped me. And I was raised by a goya for 3 years, and I nursed from a goya. And because of that pigam on my soul, I wasn't able to rise to the highest levels. And I asked again, they let me come back down just to be raised for 3 years by a Jewish mother. And Ma, you were zocher to be my mother for 3 years, and now I'm enjoying, I'm teaching, no one's... She says, but why did you die such a horrible death, ripped up to shreds? He says, there was a decree on our whole town. Our whole town had sinat chinam. And he said, I was kapara for the whole town. And he said, because of that, you can't imagine the levels that I rose. No one's able to see me, only daddy can see me. And they told the woman, go back now, you have a long life to live. Go back and get remarried. and continue on. We're fine. We're good over here. So we can't imagine what's going on in with our small minds. Who knows? Previous life, future lives. There was another story. There was a Biri Mila, and the Arizal was the Sandak. And right after the Mila, the baby died. And the parents were yelling at the Mohel, "What's going on? You killed the baby." And Arizal says, "What are you yelling at him? You killed him." He says, "You know what this was? This was Maran, Rabbi Yosef Kairo. This was the Shulchan Aruch." He said, "What?" He said, "The Shulchan," he said, "Rabbi Yosef Kairo, when he was born, he was jaundiced. And he didn't get a Milah on the eighth day. And it was a little bit of a pigam in his soul. And they brought him back down just to get a Milah. They said, you held the Maran. Don't be, what are you getting sad about? There's only rabbis like the Arizal could say such things." It's Rabbi Tauber. He recalls how his mother had so much faith in the Holocaust. His parents had three children during the Holocaust, and everyone was yelling at them, "What are you? You're creating kids to die? What are you doing?" And she said, the mother says, "I follow God's commandments. Hashem commands us to have children. They're not only for this world. Our children are ours forever. We bring them into the world, and after that, Hashem, that's Hashem's job." And all three children lived. And he said his mother taught them such faith, such bitachon. And he said he was able to give the same message over to his own children. And one of his children was expecting their third baby. And they called up, they're around in today's society. He called up his father. They're waiting the good news. What happened? He calls up his father and he said, "Dad, I get a mazal tov." He says, "Oh, beautiful, what'd you have?" He said, "Dad, I had a very special neshama, a very special soul that only needed 30 minutes in this world to correct himself." The father couldn't believe it. The kid died. But the father said, "My son," he was just happy that his son had this Torah outlook in life, that he didn't get broken from a tragedy. He looked at it the proper way. Rashi, it says, "Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha." We have to accept Hashem's decrees with innocent wholeheartedness. Sometimes Hashem will give a person yesurin to steer him in the right direction. Again, how Hashem is our loving Father. He doesn't want anything bad. Imagine that you knew of a great opportunity. The bank called you up and they said at 7 a.m. tomorrow, you could come and you could take all the money you want. And you could bring a friend. But one condition, you can't tell the friend why he's coming. Can't tell him. So you call up your best friend and you tell him, "Tomorrow I'm going to pick you up 6:30. Don't worry, we're going to go out for breakfast. It's on me. It's going to be great. You're going to love it." "Okay, fine, beauty. It's on you. Okay. Why so early? Just don't worry. We're going to go." He comes the next morning to his house. He knocks on the door at 6:30 a.m. The kid's, "Forget it. I don't want breakfast. Leave me alone." "No, come on. It's going to be great." "No, I don't want it." He opens the lights. "Turn off the lights. Come on. You're killing my sleep." "No, come on. Let's go. It's going to be good." "No." The guy goes back to sleep. He takes off his blankets. "Stop it, I'm freezing, leave me alone." Nothing, he's not moving. He goes and he starts pinching him. He says, "Alright, already, I'll get up." He gets up, he gets dressed, he goes. And he gets there, he sees what happened. They've cleaned out the bank. He says, "Oh, thank you, thank you. Who knows where I would have been? I would have lost this golden opportunity." Hashem says the same thing. Hashem says, "You don't know the opportunity you have. You don't know at the end of our lives is this bank is going to be open. Olam Haba, it's going to be awesome." And sometimes we're in the room, we're not waking up, we don't go, we don't care. And Hashem, our loving Father, wants to steer us in the right direction. And for some people it takes a misfortune to turn the person back in the right direction. And Hashem loves you. He just wants you to do good. Some people, they thrive when they're getting bounty. They thank Hashem for everything. They get closer to them. And some people, when they're getting so much, they forget. Sometimes Hashem has to steer you in the right direction. And He's only doing it because He wants you to have good. says, imagine you have a guy, he's the coach of a basketball team, and he sees that there's one outstanding guy, he's much better than all the rest, and the coach puts him to work so much more, and he makes him run extra laps, and he makes him stay after practice, and he makes him come early, and the guy says, "Coach, what are you doing to me? It's not fair. You don't do this to anybody else." The coach says, "Because you're not like everybody else. You have the most potential." Sometimes Hashem will try to pull, some people have so much potential. The Avot, the Imahot, they were barren. Why did Hashem make them barren? He brought out their potential. They prayed. David HaMelech, he gave them a life of Yisurin, but David got so close to Hashem through the Yisurin, was for their own benefit. A person has to console himself with these ideas. There are many different madrigot when it comes to Yisurin. Again, we're talking on high levels. The Slana Marav said that if a person is not at the level to accept affliction with happiness, it's a level just to know that there's a level out there. Just to know that that my goal is to eventually accept any suffering with happiness. It brings nachat ruach to Hashem. He says, "I see my children, they love me, they understand what I'm doing." Then there's another madriga. How does a person console himself? He says, kaparat avonot. Kaparat avonot, all the old timers, anything happens, kapara, kapara. Guy comes out, he gets a ticket, kapara. Guy gets a dent in his car, gets an accident, kapara, kapara. They give him a shal. A guy, he was working for a wealthy landowner. And the landowner, he's a mean guy. And one day he just started beating him and beating him and beating him. He killed him. The man was walking in the street and he sees all beaten up. And someone, his friend sees him on the street, he says, "What's going on? Why are you all like this?" He said, "You know, my boss, he beat me and beat me and beat me." He says, "Why don't you take him to court? Take him to Beit Din and sue him. You'll get some money out of him. It's a good idea." He takes him to the Beit Din. And the Beit Din says, "For every blow that he gave you, he owes you $2,000. His friend sees him in the street the next day. And he's depressed again. He says, "What are you depressed about?" He says, "You know, I went to court yesterday and they told me for every blow I get $2,000. I wish he hit me 3 more times. I could have got 6 grand more. That's all we're going to say. I wish I got a little more. It would have been..." The Chafetz Chaim says, imagine you owed somebody $1 million and the guy comes over to you and he says, "I'll let you pay me a tenth of a cent on the dollar." We'd run, just pay right away. He says, do we know how severe the onesh of a sin is? The Ramban writes in the Shar HaGemul, if a person was offered a choice to go through 70 years of Yisurei Iyov, or 1 hour in Gehinam, he says, if you knew what Gehinam was, he says, we choose the 70 years of Iyov. And Hashem lets us pay off all with every little difficulty you have. You put your hand in your pocket and you take out a quarter instead of a dime. Yisurin. I just wiped off another one. This is how we have to be mechazek ourselves. The Reshit Chochmah writes that greater than physical pain is emotional pain. It wipes out endless amounts of chataim. Of guys embarrassed. Public embarrassment. It's worth billions. Billions. Imagine you accept a public embarrassment, you walk away. It's worth billions. What people wouldn't do to save themselves from shame. It's horrible. But this is how we have to console ourselves. People would give their lives away not to suffer busha. These are all big madrigot, but we pray not to be tested. Chazal tell us, gives us other advices to achieve the effect of Yisurin without needing them. One thing they say is learn more Torah and do more Gemilut Chasadim. Because Yisurin is a lacking in your body. And these things, if you bring about the lacking on your own, you could achieve what the Yisurin was supposed to achieve. If you give away your own time for Torah, you give away your sleep, you wake up early, you took away from your body. You go Gemilut Chasadim, you go on Chesed projects, you took out from your own time and you're helping others. That is the same as Yisurin. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should only know of Simachot. We should be Zocheh to get the effects of Yisurin only through good and through learning Torah. Amen.